We park outside of a diner I've never been in before. It's an hour outside of Portland, Maine, and an hour outside of my comfort zone. It's early, and according to Google, the diner isn't open yet. But the parking lot is already full of pickup trucks, and I can see people milling about inside, sipping coffee and watching TV. As soon as we get out of the car and approach the building, customers peer at us from behind the blinds. Before I open the door, I take a deep breath.
Morning.
I step inside and stare down a room full of people I've been afraid of talking to for the past 5 months. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age. What happens when you realize you've started to see the world in only two colors, red and blue? Is the only way to change that to burst your own bubble? On the night of the 2016 presidential election, I go to sleep at 10 p.m. confident that I'll wake up to the America that I've predicted.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. On our victory.
Instead, I wake up to a lot of text messages on my phone from friends who didn't go to sleep that night. I turn to my boyfriend, Ben, who's lying next to me. He didn't go to sleep either.
For a while, it was like we were living in different countries because you were asleep. And you'd gone to bed thinking, you know, that he couldn't win. And I knew that he won.
What's going to happen? What are we going to do?
I just remember everything moving in slow motion from the time I woke up until the time I went to bed. It's just that it was a quietness. It was very eerie.
That's my friend, Chanel. The day after the election, she and I go out for drinks.
And so I think when we sat down, I was feeling angry and let down. I think disappointment is a huge emotion that I felt. I felt disappointed. But I also felt responsible for not tuning in to the undercurrent.
Before the election, I could barely count on one hand the number of people I knew who were voting for Trump. If the election happened on my Facebook, Hillary would have won by 99.9%.
Wow, this is crazy. Look at this line.
Welcome, women bloggers. You want to move down the hill?
The day after President Trump is sworn into office, I'm walking on the streets of Maine, alongside an unexpectedly large crowd. In a way, the city feels closer than it's ever been before.
All we need is love. Love is all we need.
As we keep walking, I see a man to the left of us. He's parked his truck on a side street and he's standing there, quietly watching, holding a Trump sign. As he's standing there, a woman breaks from the crowd and heads straight over to him. She gets inches from his face and starts screaming at him.
Oh man, woman is up in his face.
It's uncomfortable to watch them yell at each other, especially as peace and love signs pass them in the background. What's the point in promoting peace and love if it only applies to people who agree with you? As I get further from their voices, I wonder, how are we going to build bridges if we're always literally screaming at the other side?
Thanks for coming. So, how this is working, you're going to sit with someone that you don't know.
Okay.
I encourage you to sit wherever you think you'll be most challenged in your conversation. Okay?
It's a couple of weeks later, and Chanel, the woman you heard from earlier, is at a tea shop encouraging people to come inside from the cold and take a seat wherever they can find space. She's created an initiative called A Seat at the Table.
Between the election and where I am now, I just didn't want to be a bystander. I wanted to find my voice and really create a space, an event where the purpose was to break down the echo chambers, because I think that's what screwed us over.
It was an idea that came to Chanel one night as she was listening to Solange's A Seat at the Table.
Listening to probably Weary on the album, and it was that aha moment. I said, oh my gosh, like A Seat at the Table, difficult discussions over dinner. That was the moment I was just like, oh shit, I think I have something. I think I have something.
Once Chanel had this idea, she had to make it into something tangible. So she reached out to her friends, and then she reached out to a larger organization for help.
We needed to get a logo. Then we needed to figure out how we were going to pay for the dinners and where that was going to happen.
Then she made phone calls to local restaurants, coffee shops, breweries, tea houses. And then she had to get the word out there.
How do you spread the word?
Right now it's Facebook. The folks that I know reaching out to people that I know have larger networks and just kind of pushing it.
More phone calls, more emails, all with the hopes that the community was looking for a space that she wanted to provide.
I wanted to create an opportunity to talk to those who didn't think like me.
So, good afternoon. Good afternoon. It's not easy to come out and have these conversations, especially in our current climate. Not to go political, but to say that we are in a current climate of divisiveness.
I would get really upset when I saw a Trump bumper sticker or someone wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And I would assume so much about their life. I would assume that they're racist, that they're sexist, that they're Islamophobic, like all of those things that I think Donald Trump really promoted. And so I feel compelled to lean into that discomfort because I just have to. I can't live in a world that is this lovely progressive bubble.
As the doors open to Chanel's first event and people start to come in, I imagine this being the place where the woman from the march wearing that pink hat and the man holding up the Trump sign would be able to sit down and talk to each other and listen.
Again, what is in your heart you here tonight?
Really just my love for people and my compassion to find the good in everyone.
What's in my heart is to rid people of fear.
I don't believe either that all Trump people are white supremacists. Some are.
As I walk around and listen to people who've gathered for this red-blue bipartisan conversation, I start to realize that everyone is just a different shade of blue.
The unfortunate part is that, in a way, we're sort of preaching to the choir here, or listening to the choir, I should say, because we're not getting the diversity of opinion that we'd probably like to have.
How do we ensure that we're reaching out to people outside of our networks? That's a huge challenge because I don't know where to find Trump supporters or libertarians or people who say, you know, F the government. Like I don't know where to find them. So I might just be creating the echo chamber.
Would you take this into northern parts of Maine? You know, like outside of the Portland bubble?
There's a part of me that really wants to say yes, but I'm not there yet.
Why?
Oh, because I'm terrified. I think, especially now, after the election season and just me being a Black woman in Maine, like that can be a really uncomfortable feeling.
Maine, statistically, is one of the oldest and whitest states in the country. The median age is about 45, and 95% of the population is white.
And not because I think that something violent will happen or whatever. No, I don't think that. It's like the more north you go, it's just like you don't know what you're going to get. And at least down here, I kind of have an idea. I grew up here, so I kind of have an idea.
Isn't that where, like, the hardest conversations will be had, though?
Yeah, totally.
I guess something that I've been thinking about is, like, how much do we need to change ourselves in order for change to happen, you know?
Yeah. A lot. But if I'm being honest, I struggle with that. Like, how much of this change do I have to initiate? Why isn't the conservative person on the other side of the spectrum saying, we need to have more conversations with liberals? Mm. Perhaps a seat at the table is like my ideal of perfection, or like in a perfect world, we are talking to people that don't agree with us in a way that's civil and respectful and things like that. But the reality is, people have to opt in. And am I doing that? Like, am I doing that?
A question that will force us to break out of our bubble. That's up next. But first, a short break. Millennial is supported by FreshBooks. FreshBooks makes easy-to-use cloud accounting software that helps over 10 million entrepreneurs with their paperwork. Things like getting paid on time, keeping track of receipts, and staying organized for tax season. FreshBooks has also just launched a new version that has been totally rebuilt from the ground up. So you can create branded invoices in seconds, track your time using their mobile app, and send late payment reminders automatically to avoid that awkward client conversation. Their website is beautifully designed, so it makes everything so much easier. FreshBooks is intuitive and simple to use, which is helpful for small businesses. For your free 30-day trial, go to freshbooks.com/millennial, 2 L's, 2 N's, and enter millennial in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Head southwest on Main Street towards Stroudwater Street.
Oh, we're in the mountains. I'm getting over here.
3 weeks later, Chanel and I are driving northwest of Portland toward a town called Brownfield, Maine. Population 1,250. We agreed. If we were serious about really trying to understand the other side, we needed to go to them. Getting into our cars and driving northwest of Portland probably doesn't sound like a big feat. But when we're heading into rural Maine, we're both pretty apprehensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like a little anxious about coming out.
Yeah.
It's weird to hear myself describe being nervous about going into rural America. I mean, I used to live in Kentucky for 4 years, and I would venture outside of my college bubble all the time without thinking twice. But since the 2016 election, it's different.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
This is becoming violent. There is pushing and shoving going on inside this arena.
I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks.
Of course, I know the entire country isn't like this. But with every Facebook post and TV soundbite, it kind of feels like I'm adding a pebble into a bucket. And it started to gain weight. I realize that I've started to draw a parallel between these hateful messages and Trump, and between the people who support Trump and where they live. It's certainly not fair, but that's how I'm feeling as Chanel and I leave our Portland bubble behind.
There's context behind that hesitance. Just for me, knowing that rural white spaces, they're typically hostile to, you know, black people in the States. We can just see. I can either be, you know, proven right or proven wrong. You know, my thing is, I just, once I see a Confederate flag, I'm just like, ooh, here we go. Okay.
I haven't seen one yet, so it's a good sign.
We've randomly chosen a diner in Brownfield as our destination. As we get closer, light poles start to disappear and snowbanks get taller. I see more auto body shops that don't look open and signs that announce the next selectman meeting. It's quiet. Morning. When we walk into the diner, there are about six people sipping coffee and staring up at the TV. A few people glance at us, and a quietness settles over the room. Now that we're finally here, it's easy to imagine that everyone is thinking, who are these people, and what do they want?
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Chanel and I make our way to the counter and sit down. We get comfortable and begin to introduce ourselves.
I'm Megan.
Megan, how are you doing?
Good. Michael.
Hi, Chanel.
Chanel, nice to meet you. You guys got a nice name.
And we start making small talk about the town and about the people. Slowly, we introduce ourselves to everyone in the room. We tell them where we're from and why we're there, to get out of our liberal bubble. By the time we order breakfast, Chanel and I are sitting at a table in the middle of the dining room, next to seven regulars. And to my surprise, a man named Ed just dives right in.
You talk to people that voted for Trump, because we've got people in here that come in unawares, you know, because around the time of the election, the man came in and sat over in that chair from New Hampshire, unawares. He can't walked into this situation. And man, he stood up, he was waiting for his order. He got so mad, never came back.
I look over at Chanel. She's quiet, but I'm intrigued.
Why is that?
Because we're big conservative Trump people.
And you weren't.
And
he wasn't.
He wasn't. And he was an older man, too. Not old like me, but older. And you would think he'd learn in all these years, because you're only liberal when you're young, and then you get experience, and it shows you how wrong you were, and then when you get older, you realize, whoa, where have I been, you know?
I can feel my defenses come up a little when Ed discounts my entire political belief system as just a byproduct of my youth, but we're not here to argue.
So why do you say when you're young, you're liberal, and when you get older, you're not?
When you're young, you go to school and you get indoctrinated by liberal thought in education, the professors, teachers, and you're very impressionable at that time because you don't know what you are. So they tell you what you are, and then they brainwash you with their ideology, and then it takes a long time through life's experience to realize they're all 100% wrong. Does that explain how their sickness happens?
Well, were you guys all liberals when you were younger? You were?
She got converted. She got converted.
Yeah. And then what? And then, yeah.
Like I said, you grow up, you learn all about the world with your own life experiences. Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, though?
Like what? Yeah.
When you get our age, you'll know.
That means if you work for something, you earn it. And you don't want the government to make all your decisions and give money out. And I think you realize that. When you're young, a lot of times you haven't got a lot of work experience, and everybody free, everybody. And then you get out and you work, you see how hard it is to work. And then you see that the government wants to just, you know, give money without earning it, so that then they don't appreciate it.
For you, what does it mean to be a conservative? What does a conservative mean for you?
I'm not ashamed of my country. I'm not ashamed of my faith. I have a moral code, and I believe that abortion destroys life. That's what I believe, you know? And people feel that are liberal feel that we hate them, or we're hateful people. But I don't feel that way.
And for you, did Donald Trump, did he really
get you. He isn't somebody that I wanted to vote for. But when Hillary said, "We are the basketball of deplorables," I said, "I am not putting up with that." And so I voted for him, and I agree with most of what he says. And I'm not saying in 2 years he might do something that I can't stand. I'm not saying he's not a loose gun, you know. But I know what she's going to want.
Do you guys think a lot of times it is built up like young people versus older people, liberals versus conservatives? Like, it's constantly, you know, like that. Like, how do... Not that we need to have like all these, but like, how do we come together as like a country if we're constantly in this like duality?
I think that we have to look at each other as people and just, I mean, I don't hate liberals. My kids are liberal. I love them dearly. And you know, I just think that you haven't lived long enough.
I look over at Chanel and wonder what she's going to say, if she's going to argue. But she doesn't.
We just want to listen. And I think it's okay. I think what we've gotten to a point where we don't think it's okay that, like, I might not agree with you, but that's okay. Like, it's, you don't have to agree with me, but I should respect you, and I should listen to you, and I should try to understand where you're coming from. And I think above and beyond, for me, above and beyond where we lie, whether it's conservative or liberal, I just think a lot of what has happened as a result of the past election is that we don't listen to each other and understand, you know, why we have our views and what's important to us and, you know, what's gotten us to this point. And so I just want to listen.
That really makes me happy, because I think if we could listen to each other, that really our country is great. It is a great country. We all want to be able to put our babies to bed at night and know that we're safe.
Next time.
Yeah, maybe we'll come back up and visit. Right. Yeah.
We'll invite you over the house.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
It's tempting to end on a corny note and say we're all fine. We can have civil discussions and break down the walls that are dividing our country, and that we have more things in common than we do differences. But I'm not sure how many breakfast conversations we'd have to make that completely true. This is just one breakfast. But I will tell you, I'm happy we got outside of our bubble, because doing it once means it'll be easier to do it again. Editing was provided by Devin Taylor and Ben Severance. Justine Paradise helps with production. The voices you heard were Chanel, Lewis Jones, and Kathleen and Ed Daly. Special thanks to Michael Dandeneau, the owner of Depot Diner in Brownfield, Maine, who let us come in with our recording equipment and make ourselves at home. Before we give you scenes for our next episode, a few announcements. So a lot of you connected to our last episode, and some of you even sent us voice memos.
Hi, my name's Leah.
Hey, Megan, and everyone else who works on Millennial. Over spring break when I went home, my mom told me I had to pack up all my stuff in my room.
And it was incredibly difficult to look at every single item that two adults and one adult child accumulates over the course of their lives and assign value to each thing.
I felt like you were talking about what I had just been through.
We loved hearing your response, and it made us have an idea. We want to hear more stories directly from you via voice memo. With each voice memo request from us, we'll give a prompt to you. The first prompt, friend breakups. If you have a true story about a friend breakup, tell us via voice memo. Record your voice and send it to stories@millennialpodcast.org, and it may be featured on an upcoming episode of the show. Again, that's stories@millennialpodcast.org. I hope you do it, because we would love to hear from you. To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter @MillennialPDCST, Facebook, or Instagram. Millennial is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, with support from the Knight Foundation. On the next episode of Millennial.
So I really had a moment with myself to be like, all right, what am I going to do? Scroll? Or do I do something with it?
A Facebook post brings a group of strangers together in an effort to reunite one woman with her family. But is that level of energy sustainable? I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.